minutes, hour savings.
Do they have customers with deposits who are going to be trying to walk away?
A two-hour special on this week's banking crisis, exclusively on KSL News Radio.
Lindsay Ehrert's in studio with us right now from the newsroom, where she's just learned some new details, Dave, about what the state's plan was to help backstop the situation that was happening over the weekend with SVB Bank. Had the federal government not swooped in on Monday and said, don't worry about it, we're going to make sure all the depositors are made whole.
Instead of watching the Oscars, this is what leaders were doing.
Right, at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. Yeah.
Trying to figure out what in the world are we going to do.
Yeah, so apparently there was this meeting between the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, House Speaker Brad Wilson, Senate President Stuart Adams, all the state leaders, the governor had people, I don't know if he was there specifically or at least people speaking on his behalf, but essentially we're learning now that the state was going to backstop some a potential loan program from Zions Bank in order to get tech companies who maybe needed to make payroll Monday morning some emergency cash right away, right? So this is similar to what the federal government did with the PPP loans. You remember that?
Yep.
So essentially, you go to a bank and you say, I need a loan, and then the federal government will make sure that the bank doesn't gets its money back, right? So this is essentially what this the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity is saying happened. And I want you to listen to this audio from Brad Bonham. He's with the Governor's Office.
In the private sector, we actually wound up working with Zions Bank. They were so gracious in offering to administer some sort of a program where we would backstop up to a certain amount that they would put together in kind of a short-term lending package for these businesses. It was all centered around payroll, though. We just didn't want people, you know, all these different employees across the entire state not getting paid.
Lindsay, I'm glad the governor's office is now speaking about this, because we asked early on in the week to have somebody there join us, because we wanted to know what the state's plan was if the federal government hadn't stepped in.
Yeah, and essentially now they're saying they would have backstopped some of these loans. Now, the governor spoke about this just moments ago on his PBS press conference, but he didn't mention the fact that the state was going to backstop some of these loans. So I need to get clarification on that. But at least one member of his office is saying that the state was prepared to help just ensure that Zions Bank got its money back.
So the question was, okay, local banks, Zions and others, is there a way that you could help these with a small bridge loan so that they could pay their employees? And then when that money comes back from the FDIC, if it takes a week or two, then you would get that money back to make you whole for those. So those were the types of conversations that were happening. And because those went into Sunday, and then the Sunday afternoon, the announcement was made. And so we never really finished or finalized what that would have looked like.
So there you go. Those are the details about the plan. Again, I need to get clarification from the governor, who I know will be here in 5 minutes to kind of tell me how much was the state going to backstop? Like, maybe those details weren't finalized yet, because ultimately they didn't have to implement this.
Yeah, it's a moot point because the federal government stepped in and took care of that. Lindsay Ehrert, thank you for joining us.
Look forward to your continued coverage throughout the afternoon, Linz.
Our banks, our savings.
Do they have customers with deposits who are going to be trying to walk away?
A two-hour special on this week's banking crisis, exclusively on KSL News Radio.
We've been talking about banks, but what about credit unions? How have they been affected? Joining us right now, Scott Simpson, president of the Utah Credit Union Association. Scott, how have credit unions been doing? Same worries, or what's going on?
We've been fine. This is a different world. Credit unions are, you know, primarily made up of small depositors. A couple of distinctions. I mean, if you think about how much money was lost at Silicon Valley Bank or withdrawn last Thursday, that's almost the same amount of all of the credit union's assets in Utah put together. So we're talking about a different, completely different scale of trouble there. But credit unions are fine. We live in a different world. Silicon Valley Bank, I think you've been reporting somewhere around 3 to 5% of their deposits were insured, the rest uninsured.
Yep.
The inverse is true. Our largest credit union has 93% of its deposits under deposit insurance. And I think our average across all the credit unions is about 90%, 91%. So yeah, just a different animal for us.
So I belonged to a credit union for a number of years, and I know they call me a member. I'm a member. Yeah. Can I be a member of two credit unions? One of our listeners wanted to know that. I thought that is a great question. Can I be?
It is a great question, and indeed you can. There are membership eligibility requirements. You can be a member of any number of credit unions. It's your choice. You may not be able to be a member of all credit unions because you have to reach eligibility, but many, I'm a member of multiple credit unions myself.
How does FDIC and NCUA differ?
Well, the NCUA Insurance Fund has never been backfilled by the taxpayers of the United States. That's like a historical difference. We were never capitalized by the taxpayers, and we haven't been bailed out by the taxpayers in our history. From a consumer's perspective, it's essentially the same thing. It's $250,000 per depositor, and there are ways you can structure those deposits. Everything that I've heard Howard describe this last week about that, very, very much the same. The regulatory scheme around that is the same. It's capitalized and runs based on premiums paid by the credit unions themselves.
I don't know if this is possible to answer in 30 seconds, Scott, but is it possible to live these days without a credit union or a bank in your life? I think about direct deposit. I think about bill pay. I think about the convenience of bill pay. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's incredibly unwise. Where else would you go for your transactional behavior, right? If you're going to put everything on the credit account that you have for your electronic payment, peer-to-peer payment system, those are uninsured. If somebody's got a huge balance sitting on their phone system, this app that's transmitting their payments to wherever it's going, that's all uninsured. At least at a financial institution, you've got insured deposits. This crisis in California notwithstanding, I don't say this very often, but I agree with Howard that this is incredibly unique and really not relevant to retail finance in general.
Scott Simpson, thank you for joining us, president of the Utah Credit Union Association.
If you missed any of this, no worries. We will podcast this entire show on your favorite podcast platform.